All right, I'm going to launch into the marketing so that we can make sure that we have plenty of time for tasting. And I will say, you know, we neither one of us, you know, we didn't have a business background. We're just like, you know, nerdy soil scientists and kind of fell into this whole, like, the whole idea that this is a business that kind of has evolved and been refined over time. We led with like our dream and now it's a business and we actually have to derive our livelihood from it. And understanding like marketing, initially that whole idea of marketing, and understanding markets was, well, all right, you know, you produce something and you get out there and go to a farmer's market and come back at the end of the day, hopefully with nothing. And that's your marketing. Money, money, money. Yeah, you come back with money. Yeah, good. A big lot of wad of 20s is good. But to write our business plan, we did have to do some market research, so we did a little bit of like informal surveys, and we visited grocery stores that offered cheese. We went and talked with some chefs at restaurants. And we also did talk with other cheesemakers to get a sense of what they were charging, what kind of products they were selling, what was selling well. But we didn't do a whole lot of homework in this arena. We did create a logo. Our original logo was meant to be kind of a folk art type of a logo with goats eating peach leaves off of a tree, because it actually was real, unintentional. You can see that it is very folk arty, and it's interesting, but it's also very complicated, and it does not scale well at all. When we use it on labels or on banners or whatever, as it gets smaller, it's almost a complete blur. So a couple of years ago, we actually went and hired a professional graphic designer who happened to be one of our customers, who knew us and knew the farm and knew our values. And they came up with our current logo design, which is a Nubian goat holding a peach, and one of our favorite goats, who has since passed away, her name was Chippewa, and we called her Chippy, and so she is now embodied in our logo. That's Chippy the goat, and our graphic designer was really into fonts and selected this font because he felt like it embodied the values of our farm, and we're really happy with this new logo. It really works well in terms of all of the different scales that we need to use it in for packaging and et cetera. We even have a cardboard cutout life-size version of Chippy that's at the farm. So our markets, we started out with exclusively direct markets. In fact, the first year we just sold at the Urbana Farmers Market. Then the next year we started selling a little bit limited to specialty cheese shops and one or two independent grocery stores. We added a second farmers market in 2006 in Chicago's Green City Market, and then in 2008, I think it was, we decided to try our hand at a CSA, and we did what we were calling community-supported goat. And that first year, it wasn't restricted to geography. We did have a local, we had a farm pickup, we had a pickup in Chicago, and we also shipped, which was a huge mistake. That was very not wise. But we had people for signing up to be a member, they got a picture of their goat and a description of her personality, and people really liked that. We then, we at one point we were doing as many as 3 farmers markets on a Saturday. That was insane in terms of the logistics. So now we've backed down to 2, which is still pretty insane. We refined our CSA to be a cheese, bread, and gelato CSA and partnered with a baker. And we did multiple pickup locations with them for a couple of years, and then they moved away and we partnered with another baker. The other direct sales are on the farm through our various open houses. And last year we decided to actually develop hours that were open, because people would often call and they would want to come out in the middle of the week during the day to walk around the farm and buy stuff. So, and then we've developed a line of I didn't even know about this term until last year, merch. This idea of like non-food kinds of things, T-shirts, tea towels, soap, things that people can kind of take away. And then we also started developing a line of accompaniments, crackers, jams, honey, things like that. Our wholesale at one point was as much as 60% of our gross revenue. It's now back closer to 50%. But our primary outlets are specialty cheese shops and restaurants, with some grocery stores, and most of them are either in central Illinois or Chicago. We do sell a little bit out of state, but very little. Chicago will do deliveries if we have enough businesses to warrant going up to make the trip. And then otherwise we ship to our wholesale customers in insulated shippers via FedEx Ground, and we charge our customer for the shipping costs. Yeah. And for some people that's a deal breaker, and it may be limiting the number of wholesale customers, but we're pretty okay with the number of wholesale customers that we have. What we're trying to grow is the more direct retail business, for obvious reasons. Okay, so how did we get the word out? How did we do the marketing? Initially, we had a college kid develop a static, you know, this is how it used to be not that long ago. You had a college kid and he or she developed a static website, in our case a he, and he had to do all the updating. I had to send him stuff, and quickly we realized this is not going to work because he was in college and that was not his priority. So we found out about Small Farm Central. Anybody here use Small Farm Central? They are a really interesting company. It was actually started by a farmer in Pennsylvania, and they developed a web hosting platform that is very farmer friendly, and it's template driven. And we use their services to have a very easy to update website that can also offer e-commerce, because that part was important for us as we started to develop the dinner part of our business. And I can go in there and very easily update things, because the kiss of death is to create a website and have it be out of date within a matter of days. So the fact that I can update this 24/7 is a huge advantage. They are not cheap, and we now do all of our wholesale, take all of our wholesale orders through our website. Many of our events, our classes and stuff, we do through the e-commerce part of our business. And it's extremely friendly to CSA farms. So we manage our CSA customers through our website. So we did a lot of just word of mouth through the markets, tasting demos, cheese events. We would go to a lot of stores to do tasting demos. We would try to show up at events that showcased local food and taste our product. We got a lot of good free publicity too. Our local newspaper wrote an article about our farm when we started up. The Chicago Tribune wrote an article about us. That was huge, a huge boost to our customer base in Chicago. You know, they're looking for a good story, and we had an interesting story, and they were really happy to help tell it. And then as Facebook became more prominent, we had to develop a Facebook page, and I didn't know anything, you know, about the social media thing, and I really thought, this is not important for us. I don't need to learn how to use this stuff. And boy was I wrong about that. We really didn't have a marketing budget as part of our overall cost of doing business. We got away with spending almost no money on marketing for many years, that has started to change. Though we tried doing some radio spots on our public radio, we did some spots on some commercial radio. We never did any TV ads or anything like that, no billboards. But the landscape has changed, and we're definitely in a world now where we're having to be a little bit more creative. The Facebook page, the whole rules of engagement with Facebook and their filters, and having to boost posts that you want to make sure people see, we utilize that. We started doing Twitter. I actually love Twitter now. Wes can attest to that. I got a smartphone. I used to have a clamshell phone. We really don't think that paid ad is sort of classic advertising in newspapers or radio does anything, or you have no idea what it's doing. You have no way to track. Whereas electronic social media, you can see the impact. It's the translating of people viewing your post to showing up at the farm or showing up to the farmer's market or signing up for your CSA. It's a challenge, but there's much more feedback associated with social media than there is in the traditional marketing outlets. Wes is another just came out last week. It's the Illinois Travel Guide, and we had a reporter that was hired by the Illinois Tourism Bureau to cover one of our farm dinners. And he wrote a beautiful article with some really great pictures of the meal that he had at our farm. This is free advertising, and this goes to all of the venues where people pick up the magazines for what to do in the state of Illinois. So this is a good one for us, and you can look at it at the end of the session here. So understanding social media and how to use it strategically, I really came kicking and screaming into this, thinking that it was not important. And we have had some classes, marketing classes at the university, do evaluations of our business and marketing strategies. And I've come to realize that even folks from my generation, they utilize social media. And we really have to understand how to use it effectively and how to pay for it when we need to pay for something. Another way of marketing ourselves is to do some benefit work. We have done some benefit events. We did a benefit for our food bank with celebrity chef Rick Bayless. There he is in the white chef jacket in the middle. He's an incredible guy, and that was a huge draw. And we get a lot of goodwill associated with the benefit events that we do in the community. So we are really trying to keep up with these marketing trends, and it's a constant changing arena, and not burying our head in the sand and pretending that it's just going to pass us by is not. It's really having to understand how you look at like analytics, who's visiting your website, what pages are they going to, and that takes a lot of time to really understand it. How you design your website. People want more pictures and less text. You know, as academics, that's a hard one to swallow, former academics. But people want more pictures, especially younger people want more pictures. And they have to be beautiful pictures. And like I said, the baby goats is a great way to get a lot of hits on Facebook. And as Wes alluded to, we have a good following in a certain clientele, people that are food savvy, people that are already into the local food movement. But we really need to start expanding beyond the converted into clientele that may not necessarily be connected to food in that way, but that would appreciate the kind of products and events that we offer if they knew that we existed. So we're really having to figure out how to reach those people that aren't the low-hanging fruit. And that is challenging. I won't deny it. And understanding the way that different demographic groups receive information and how they make purchasing decisions. There's like fields of sociology behind these kinds of things, and we really need to pay attention to them and learn from those folks to really be able to market ourselves in a more sophisticated way and use social media more strategically and never just rest on our laurels or just assume that if we build it, they will come. I think those days are over for the local food movement. Ironically, because local food is a little bit more easily accessible in grocery stores and things, it's actually having a little bit of a cannibalizing effect on our ability to direct market ourselves. I don't know if anyone else is experiencing that. So social media is key. We use all of these tools. We partnering with other farms and other businesses who can cross promote you through social media. That's also a huge way to do it. Our local tourism board, Visit Champaign County, we're their local food poster child, and they retweet our tweets and they post about us on social media, and that has had a really good effect. So it's not just coming from us; it's coming from other folks as well. All right, I'm gonna just kind of show you quickly what some of our platforms look like. I am. All right, this is what you see when you open our website, and it's you can see that it's really easy to access. If you're interested in what's happening for food, you just click on that, and it takes you. And then you can actually click on this site to get to our e-commerce to make reservations. Very easy to maneuver, and it's mobile friendly. It is you can utilize this website from your phone. Our Facebook page is the one that is of the other social media platforms that and Twitter that I feel most comfortable. The others like Instagram and Pinterest. I had our former employee who's a millennial develop those, and it's a little bit harder for me to appreciate how to use Instagram and Pinterest than the other two platforms. But this is our Facebook page. I just put a post yesterday or 2 days ago in celebration of National Cheese Lovers Day, and pictures are key, and good pictures are key. And this one had over 3,000 likes or views or whatever the term is, I forget. And then our Twitter feed, keeping these, not overdoing it because it gets annoying. So there's that balance of too much tweeting or too much posting on Facebook, and a balance between trying to get people to take some kind of action, to buy something or come to an event, versus just posts that keep who you are in front of your clientele. And then the other thing I'll mention, I'll skip over the Instagram and Pinterest for interest of time. We had a guest who came to our farm 6 years ago to have a meal, and turned out to be a documentary filmmaker. And after meeting Wes and talking to Wes, he's like, "Who are these crazy people that left jobs and left academic jobs to start a goat farm and eat peaches? And what is about them?" So he took 5 years and made this documentary called The Farmer's Road, and it's now starting to get some good showings. It's not available for wide screening, but it's being shown at some film festivals, and we're going to be doing an event, a fundraiser event in Chicago with it. And so obviously these kinds of things help build awareness of who we are and what we're about. I'm done. Yeah. Okay, so we can answer questions or, yes. Yep. We thought really hard about switching over to like a WordPress or something like that. It was really hard to leave all that I had built on that website. And the fact that I can manage the CSA and our wholesale customers and do the e-commerce, and if our ticket sales for our farm dinners aren't selling out like as fast as they were, then that issue is no longer a problem. So overall, it's sort of more like it's a one-stop shop for us to manage the website. And they've changed their templates. Their templates are more modern and user-friendly and easy to navigate. And I really like Small Farm Central. Yes, they have really good technical support, and there is a learning curve. Even though it's template driven, there are certain things that are just really beyond, and there are some quirks and idiosyncrasies that are hardwired into the templates that don't, if you really want super customized, it can be frustrating. Yeah. If we didn't do the CSA and e-commerce, I probably would switch to WordPress. Yeah. PayPal. Yeah. So it's 3%, but we're actually paying that. We pay it just like we use the Square for our direct sale, like at farmers markets and on farm sale, and anybody else here use the Square? It's great. It's very merchant friendly, flat fee regardless of type of card. That's not integrated. They don't have the ability to integrate that with our Small Farm Central, unfortunately. But PayPal is 3%. It's not terrible. It's usually for nonprofits in the community. So we did the food bank. We did our public radio station. There's a it's called the Japan House. It's an entity on campus that teaches people about Japanese culture. They approached us about doing a fundraiser, and they are customers of ours. So it's usually a charity that we know about and we care about and we value. We get a lot of requests to donate to auctions. I would say last year we donated to about a dozen charities from baskets of cheese to dinner tickets. They all want the dinner tickets. We can only do so many of those. But we do a lot of donating of our products or experiences, gift certificates, 'cause it's a good thing to do. Well, we try to if it's in line with what we think we're about, then we would be open to it. But
what we started to say at the beginning, one reason for that would be kind of downplay. People wanted to do birthdays or graduations or weddings. We said we're mostly about education and food.
Right.
That's our highest priority. We're going to try to do everything we can to support food service.
Oh, yeah, never again. Yeah. Was not a good fit. Well, we have about 15 minutes left, if I'm reading that clock right, and we definitely want to taste. Wes is, as if we don't have enough to do, Wes has, because of our partnership with the Land Connection, he's been thinking about a immersion farmer school, and he just wanted to get the idea out to people and maybe get feedback from people. Yeah, I'll get the cheeses ready.
All right, well, this is an unscheduled short version, but I'm happy to take questions afterwards, too. Short version is, when my sister found out what we were doing, she sent us a copy of a movie, from a French movie called The Girl from Paris. It's about a woman who, sick of her IT job, she decides she's going to quit, and she wants to become a farmer. And her mother almost drops dead when she tells her about that, of course, because why would you waste all your time and energy and become a farmer? So, but then she goes to what appears to be an immersion farmer school in France. And apparently they've been doing some of this because they have a lot of people, old farmers, retiring, leaving important farms behind with no heirs and no clear succession. So they've been actively doing this. The government has. That's not happening here that I can see. PFI certainly has programs for beginning farmers and everything else, but after 40 years in academia, it seemed like most of what I'd done in academia was not to help educate a new generation of farmers as much as agribusiness people or others or environmental scientists, good people in all cases, but not farmers. So having a chef made me aware of what chef's training looks like. And chef's training is like an immersion program. They go to culinary school and they learn theory, and they learn practice, and they practice and develop skills. Anybody know about anything like that for farmers? No. Where? Yeah, I think, right, timing's important. And we were involved a lot. In fact, Leslie helped co-found the Central Illinois Farm Beginnings program. And I see that I think the University, Iowa State, has a similar kind of 8 meetings in the winter program that covers, you build a business plan with that. And I think that there's all kinds of good ways to enter farming. And depending on where you start and where you want to go and how fast you want to go and everything else, what I've been developing and thinking really hard about is kind of the most extreme version, which is take a year off, 48 months, and learn from professionals, mostly from practitioners. Like 80% of the instruction would be practitioners. Academics would fill in the theory and some of the big picture stuff. It would really be about the whole food system. I mean, I've looked at all the curricula for many of the programs, and from being a farmer now, trying to sell product through the whole food system, through wholesale people and through distributors, and you don't learn anything about that when you're in farmers learning how to produce products. So something that would cover the whole food system. So maybe you decide after you get out, you don't want to be a farmer, but you'd like to be part of the system. But you would understand the farm. And most of those guys, from my experience in the food system, they understand a little bit of the food system just before them and a little bit of the food system just after them. But the rest is a black box. So, and this would not be the only way to get farmers. Not everybody who becomes a farmer would be expected to do this, but it just seems like it should be an offering or an option for people who decide that they'd really like to become a professional in the food system. So sustainability would be underlying all of it. Yes?
Are you familiar with what the Joel Salatin does?
Sure. Yeah, and it's very valuable stuff, and I'm sure they learn a lot. They learn a lot from one guy. And I know from experience, after having had a lot of interns, that I show them how we do it. I mean, people working on the farm, we show them how we do it. Yeah, there are. Michigan State does a really nice course. John Barenbaum does it. We know it well. Know lots of people who went there. A lot of the courses are only vegetables. That's one thing that is striking. And I don't think a lot of people know about animals. A lot of people say, I want to get into vegetables. It doesn't take much investment. I go to a farmer's market. And I'm just afraid we're going to have a lot of failures, more than we've had in farmers, if we don't get a really strong professional option going for them. And the idea with the school is once you've got, it would be modular, it would be integrated but modular. You could spin off the modules and other people could take the workshops or portions of it and along the way.
I see what you're saying, because I'm an ag program at Ohio Central. And this semester I'm doing beet production, and then we have the business aspect and marketing of the ag world, and then we also have another class too where you gotta learn advanced crops and soybeans. Mm-hmm. What you're trying to say is be able to have people narrow it down to certain curriculums in the ag world?
Well, it's a combination of breadth and depth, both. But and I don't know, I'm looking for suggestions or comments from you. So if you have any, I've got a little handout I can give out. But that's the kind of feedback I'd like to get. And again, I think there should be a huge future. If you haven't seen that book I just had there, just heard about it on NPR, I think it's important for all of us in this business. It's called Always Hungry, and it's about a diet that actually makes sense. So it's by a Harvard nutrition professor, lots of good, it seems like the ultimate and cutting edge science about what makes sense to eat, and one of the things that makes sense are dairy products, for example, and with fat. And you've probably been hearing some of that, but it's not out there yet. I mean, there's all kinds of recommendations still coming out that act like it's toxic. So I think let's go eat some fat. Yeah.